evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, friends and family, my wonderful fans, wherever you are. For some of you, it's good morning, good morning, good morning. For some of you, it's good afternoon or good night. Thank you for joining me today. Welcome again to Superior Entrepreneurship Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about different ways and different areas of success. I've got a wonderful host with me today. His name is Karan Luthra. He's a very successful lawyer and a businessman and entrepreneur himself. So generally it's me and myself and talking to you and sharing my wisdom and experience. So hang in, stay tuned. We're going to talk to Karan and we'll be back after a quick short break. Welcome back, friends. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Wonderful January 5th in 2020. It's nice to have someone join me in this conversation today. It's hard to find successful entrepreneurs, but the ones with experience and some wisdom, someone that's fallen on his face, gotten up, traveled the world, and seen life from different perspectives. So today I'm excited and honored to have my brother and a fellow entrepreneur, Mr. Karan Luthra. He's extremely experienced in the areas of civil, residential, and commercial construction. He's a recognized lawyer in Alberta, so a member of Alberta Law Society. He's got tremendous experience in various elements of business development, as well as finance, marketing, and also, more importantly, on how to legally protect the business and helping young and upcoming entrepreneurs. So, Karan, welcome today to the show. Thank you for coming us and taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you so much for an amazing introduction. I didn't expect those kind words coming from my brother. But in any event, I appreciate being on your show and you taking your time out to participate.
Well, it's always fun. Over the years, I've always picked on you and I've always felt that, you're a young fellow that, as brothers, we always go pick on each other. And as you know, this podcast is catered towards business entrepreneurs and business people. So tell me more about, and your experience in, what does it take to be a small businessman? What does a person need to do, or what type of skills a person need to have?
Well, one of the most important skills is definitely versatility and diversity. You need to be having a versatile mindset, and you need to be able to have a diverse skill set.
So let me break it down for you. So what would you say, let's say if it's a new business person, he wants to start up a new company. So what are some of the things that you would do? Would you tell him to say, hey, listen, talk about, knowing your product, maybe focusing on and setting up contracts and things of that nature, how to set up a GST number and things like that. Maybe if you want to elaborate, maybe
In terms of a new business, what I want to make sure is that a new person entering into the field has a macro and a micro view of his business.
Great, okay.
He should really understand the overall picture and the nitty-gritty details of everyday operations of his business.
So let me clarify for our listeners. Let's say if the guy wants to get into business of making millions. So, yesterday I did a show and I talked about the strategy of building a duplex. And I said, well, look, if you're a young person or young family, you got to have a wife and you got yourself, maybe you got two kids, you got your missus working and you're going to build yourself a property that's going to really create some revenue for you on a day-to-day basis. So if you're looking at that, you know, what I was suggesting is an individual buys a piece of land, negotiates with a developer some payments that you can pay him on a first draw, build a house, essentially two homes for price of one, do a builder's draw mortgage. So going back to that example, starting as a new business person, what's important in my view is the due diligence. What do you think about that? What are some of the things a person can do from due diligence when they're trying to get into that type of business?
I certainly agree with you in that respect. A lot of times you'll hear a lot of talk from other real estate investors or in real estate moguls in the industry would talk about, don't buy a house, don't buy a house, whatever you do, buy a business. But at the end of the day, we all know, as there's speaking from,
you got a place to live, right?
Yeah, you definitely have a place to live. But now the place to live also
could be your business,
like you said, if you build a duplex, you can live in one unit, you can rent the unit beside you, and you might as well supplement the mortgage and accumulation of equity with the rent that you gain from the other half.
Correct. So what I suggested to my listeners yesterday, and there were a couple of guys who sent me some emails, and I said to them, look, man, make sure you get an in-law suite, and you get two in-law suites, and you got and two tops, right?
Yes.
So you got $1,500 coming on the top, you got $1,000 coming at the bottom, you know, and you're doing the same thing in the unit that you're living in. So,
yes.
So you're looking at now $25,000 plus, you're $3,500 in income that you would normally wouldn't have.
Yes, because now in the city of Edmonton, for example, they've allowed you to construct a duplex on a single family lot. So if you can construct four legal dwellings, basement suite, upstairs suite, and meter them all separately, you've created three suites out of a one suite that you're going to live in.
Yeah.
And so now these...
Now I would even break it down even more. For example, if you got a cousin or nephew or a cousin...
Yeah, they student, can live below you.
Yeah, and you know what? You could have the roommate model. I mean, again, I'm not big on bringing in roommates in my home, but look, if it's a family friend, it's a student of their son or a nephew or niece or something that's going on, it's a university, they're going to be paying rent to somebody else. So it's okay to pay you $600.
Yeah, and it goes down to the whole point of the macro view and the micro view. The macro view should be that, of course, you're going to need a place to stay, but if you could supplement some of the mortgage and the cost associated with this development with these rental dwellings, hey, that's a step in the right direction. You know, now pretty soon you've developed four units here. Mm-hmm. You're residing in one. Now why not repeat and scale this model?
Great. Yeah. No, I think what I was suggesting last night was, okay, well, we talked about in the beginning of the show, we're going to talk about what does it take, you know, from legal point of view. What I feel that a person needs to understand is, like you said, macro view, what you want to do. Well, look, we want to make money. We want to make sure that we have sustainable income. We need retirement savings. And we need to make sure that we have ongoing cash flow. So if you're looking at those options, building one side, renting another side, living in it, and then if you live in it for a certain time, you can, you know, benefit those capital gain situation as well. You know, you don't have to pay tax on some of that stuff. So there may be discussions that you need to have with your accountant, right?
Accounting decisions.
So if a guy was to make, you know, a unit and you stay in it for 6 months to a year, you sell one side, you're going to make $100,000. It's $50,000 to $100,000 easily. But if you do it yourself, don't buy it from builders, don't buy it from somebody else, because now you're giving away all your profits. So
definitely, there's built-in contractor profits that are definitely...
That's your profit. That's your equity. So now what I'm suggesting to you is, hey, listen, get into this business of building homes. And if you're able to build those homes and sell those homes, flip those homes, you're actually better in know-how than to go and work for somebody else and buy from retail price.
Yes, and there's actually many programs out there that deal with warranty programs for self-builds. And, you know, you could do your own research, find out which programs are out there, and those will help you. And moreover, there's courses from the Professional Home Builders Institutes that you can learn the art of.
Yeah, well, again, we run the 100x growth system. Again, we've got a tremendous opportunity for people to join our coaching system and talk about what needs and what assessments and what are some of the things. So what happens is that what we're talking on the podcast is about, well, how do we inspire people to be at the next level, whatever the next level it is for you. So in my world, what I'm looking at this is, well, what does it take for an entrepreneur to be successful? Well, macro view, micro view, understanding the goals, vision, and so on. For first, you need to establish in your own head that this is what I'm going to do. once you're established, you're going to talk about things like, Grant, is, you know, setting up a company. Can you tell me what some of the things that you face, some of the things, whether it's name search or logo or things of that nature, what does it take for a small businessman to start thinking about those things?
Certainly, the best benefit of incorporating is to be able to write off many of those expenses that you incur in the construction process or running your company. So what you want to do is consult with your legal advisor, with your accounting advisors. I'm not in a position to provide any legal advice.
No, we're just having a casual chat. Like, if it's a new guy, guy's 25 years old, he's got a day job, he's an electrician, he wants to get out of this daily rat race. There's nothing wrong with him incorporating
a company and starting the construction and acquisition of...
So would you say the step would be to get in the comfortable place of knowing that this is what I want to do?
Certainly. And what I would suggest is if he talks to his financing professionals, he talks to the mortgage professionals, find out the strategy to acquire and to properly finance his project. So what does that entail? Well, maybe he needs to set up a new company, and the new company is going to be right. The one who is obtaining the financing. And the lending criteria has to be established. But from a legal standpoint, the company structure has to be there, and the company has to maintain proper business licensing, proper GST numbers, and has to have all the necessary requirements to go out and to build
in the marketplace. So, interesting you mentioned that. A lot of times it's very elementary stuff when it comes down to the people that are looking to do this. So just to break it down for listeners. So let's say if you want to get into the business, you need to make sure first and foremost, think about the name. You need to think about incorporation. You need to think about three is the directorship, and you need to talk about if it's going to be partnership or sole proprietorship, or it's going to be a limited partnership and so on, depending on whatever the jurisdiction that you are in. So, and then also understand the fact that you need to have a banking setup. Banking, you need to have online banking, you need to have a checking account, and you also need to have different things that you have able to control your payroll. Some of the companies that, even your banks and some of the bigger banks, they do their payroll services for small businesses. I'm not endorsing anyone, but look, in the past I've seen Ceridian, they've done a great job. That's my experience.
And oftentimes most of these projects involve subcontractors. So a lot of times at this scale, if you're doing one project, you may not have many employees, but
it's better to set up right, because you want to set something up for growth and scalability. Because here's the deal, you gotta, let's say, you go out there, you get yourself an online telephone platform, you go out there, you get yourself a GoDaddy website, you get yourself a domain, you get yourself a telephone number, you
That's
get
right.
yourself
you're, cell phone. You're scalable
yeah,
and set up
and digital
fax
and things of that nature, Grant, I think are very necessary. Would you say, from a legal point of view, if you're well set up, are you better protected to undertake jobs?
Absolutely, and then you want to make sure that you have appropriate warranty programs in place, and you want to make sure that you have appropriate commercial general liability coverage in place for your company.
Yeah, so again, recapping, that general liability goes for any business, all right? So that's a very good point. It's interesting that you mentioned that. Can you think of a circumstance where a business owner would be affected or could face some problems if you don't have general liability?
Well, prime example in the construction industry would be if there's any issues with access during the construction. Now, if you have an open pit, you know, for some reason, one night your fence panel falls over due to heavy winds or whatnot, you have any trespassers who get on your site and hurt themselves.
Yeah,
at the end of the day,
it basically prevents you.
Yeah, the liability
is mitigated. Yeah, the key here is to make sure that you're well prepared. So again, going back to this concept of what does it take for small business to start and what does it take for business to be prepared? You know, I'm trying to marry these two concepts of, okay, building a house. I'm trying to marry this concept of making millions. I've looked at this, okay, in 5 years, I said, you can be a millionaire. If you build two houses a year, two duplexes, that means it's $50,000 to $100,000 in sales, plus the rental income. If you're able to do that twice a year in 5 years, that's 10 units you remove, you'll be able to have $1 million net.
Yeah, certainly, I agree with you. And what you want to do is maximize your loan to value. That way you can minimize your personal contributions into the project. And I think that's probably a topic for one of your other
for another show. So look, yeah. Again, just to summarize, again, don't be afraid, guys. Don't be thinking twice. You know what? Be clear in terms of what you're trying to do. Have confidence. You can do it. A lot of people are going to be telling you it can't be done. I don't know. It's too complex. Well, look, here's the deal. In 2020, I intend on starting a mentorship program, our coaching program, 100X Growth System will cover a lot of those fabrics of success. My goal here would be to coach you through whatever endeavors you undertake, and I'll do my share to inspire, motivate, and be a person of inspiration, hopefully, and I love to learn from you as well. So please feel free to comment on the podcast, share it. If you get something out of it, great. If not, I appreciate your time. Just again, to summarize, make sure you have clarity of thought, understand what you need, your branding, your website, your telephone, your GST number, and your own business vision plan. So the rest will follow through. Karan, thank you so much for joining me for today's show. It's been a pleasure to have you. Once again, Karan Luthra with Luthra Law Office. Again, Karan, do you want to tell them how they can get hold of you if they need to talk to you?
Certainly. They can contact the office at 780-466-4660 or email at info@luthralaw.ca.
All right, folks. Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody's time. And you have a fabulous evening wherever you are in the world. Good evening, good day, good night. Greetings.